Coverage of the NHL Draft on WGR is being brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods.
Oh, this is awesome. With the fourth overall selection in the 2026 NFL Draft. NHL Draft, my bad. Sorry about that. The Buffalo Sabres are proud to select from the Prince Albert Raiders, Daxon Rudolph.
Oh. All right, there's the Bills Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas. Love it that he just went right to NFL instead of NHL. But he corrected himself. He did it. Nice job, Thurman. Yes, Daxon Rudolph, the defenseman, is the top choice for the Sabres at fourth overall. They do keep the pick as of this moment. They have pick 20. We're on pick 16 right now with the Blues. The Ducks, in making a trade, Mason McTavish going from the Ducks to the Blues for pick 15 and 29. The Ducks just made their selection of Nikita Klepov, a right winger. So Klepov just off the board there. Pick 16 is St. Louis, 17 Los Angeles, 18 Washington, 19 Utah, and then it'll be 20 Buffalo. We are monitoring all these trade rumors coming down. We'll have more on that in a moment. We're also going to check in with Joe Calley, who got a chance to talk with Daxon Rudolph. But we want to hear from the newest Sabre. So let's hear from Rudolph here. He met with Joe and the rest of the media just a little few minutes ago here down on the floor. So let's hear from Rudolph at the Sabres pick at fourth overall.
Daxon, obviously just heard your name. It's a big cheer for you. Describe this moment and what it means to be Buffalo Sabre right now.
Yeah, it's an incredible feeling to be selected by Buffalo in Buffalo. It means a lot, and just hearing the applause was a really cool moment.
We'll go left side, third row.
Yeah, Daxon, getting drafted to Buffalo, one of the top D-cores in the NHL. Just, you know, what does it mean to be able to possibly one day play with Dahlin, Samuelson, and in power, knowing how good that core is?
Yeah, obviously I watched a lot of them this year and during their playoffs, and the way those guys play the game is fun to watch, and they're all really talented players, and I'm just excited to join them.
Left side, second row, Mike.
Daxon, tell us a little bit about what conversation, if any, you had with the Sabres, whether it was with the Combine or this week, and the second thing is just what's your reaction to being the first defenseman chosen in a draft full of them?
Yeah, I actually didn't speak with them at the Combine. And then obviously they made the trade. And I spoke with them this morning. So that was my interview with them and their staff this morning. And I kind of realized it could be a possibility that I'd be selected. And yeah, I mean, the D-core, the defense in this draft is very elite and talented guys who I'm buddies with a lot of them. So to be selected, it's a good feeling, and yeah, something I'll never forget.
Right side, second row.
Noah Randall, WSBU, The Buzz. What kind of energy can Buffalo fans expect you to bring to the locker room once you get called up to the NHL?
Yeah, I think I just try and be a positive guy. I think I'm a happy guy, someone who loves being at the rink and talking and watching hockey. So I think that's something I bring.
Left side standing, John.
Hi, Daxon, John Warrow. You're close friends with Gavin. What was this whole experience like, and as you guys talked about this and seeing Justin Bieber and then getting picked four picks later, what can you put that into perspective?
Yeah, it's super cool being able to share this whole draft year experience with him and getting to know him, and yeah, becoming buddies with him is cool, and to see him be selected first, and I mean, with Justin Bieber and everything, it was amazing. And I remember just talking to my mom saying, wow, like, this is so cool, as I'm sitting there on the couch waiting to be picked. And it's definitely a cool moment to share with him.
Right side, third row.
Daxon, Troy from Dave and Adams. First of all, welcome to Buffalo.
Thank you.
Happy to have you here. We've had some of your teammates actually open some hockey cards with us before, so I want to know, which one of your new teammates would you collect?
Like in Denver or here in Buffalo?
No, here in Buffalo, which one of your teammates do you think you would collect?
I think, I don't know. I would say maybe Braden Coots. Or do you mean like my Buffalo teammate?
Yeah, your new Buffalo teammate.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, which one of them would you collect?
I don't know, maybe Zach Benson. Yeah, I like the energy he's bringing in the playoffs.
Left side, second row.
Daxon, congratulations. Is there a moment, maybe a game or something a coach said, where you realized at some point that you could be in the NHL one day?
Yeah, I think obviously it's a dream when you're a young kid. I think the moment where I realized I can really do this is when I got selected first into the WHL by Prince Albert. You realize that you got an opportunity at this, and you keep your head down and keep working, and you can maybe do it.
Right side standing, Guillaume.
Hi, Daxon. Guillaume Lefrancois of La Presse. We don't hear too many times about a player who gets his first interview on draft day with the team that picks him. Can you just share some details on where that took place and sort of the gist of it?
Yeah, probably the main reason for that was like where they were picking earlier before the trade. And I think, I actually walked over to the rink here today and went up into their office this morning to meet with them, and that was my first meeting with them, other than some little stuff after the games. But it's cool. It's definitely something, like you said, you don't hear too often and see, so it's really cool.
Left side, front row.
Hey, Daxon, congratulations.
Thank you.
Going to college or going to Denver, you've got there are a few other Sabres prospects playing defense in college. Are you familiar with any of those guys, Kleber or Osborne, any of them?
I am not. No, I do not know them.
Just was curious to know if you're gonna your up and coming other defensemen.
Right. Yeah. No. It'll be fun to play against them next year and compete with them.
Right on. Thank you.
Thanks.
Right side, second row.
Hey, Daxon, Angelo Restivo, WSBU, The Buzz. First things first. Welcome to Western New York. What about this Buffalo fan base are you most excited to see?
I think just the energy in the building. Like I said, during the playoffs, it was something so cool to watch. And them being back in the playoffs and with the team they had competing, it's going to be fun to be a part of that and play for those fans.
Right side standing in the back.
Daxon, you got a year coming up here at DU. What are you most looking forward to working with a national championship team?
Yeah, I think just competing against their guys every day, having that healthy competition and pushing each other to be better is what I'm most excited for. Obviously playing for their coaching staff as well, the winning pedigree there really excites me and something I'm looking forward to joining.
Right side, second row.
Daxon, tell us a little bit about some of those photos that you had inside of your suit jacket when you're on the red carpet. What were some of those photos that meant the most to you, and why did you choose them to walk on the red carpet?
Yeah, I think they all mean so much to me. On the right side, I got pictures of me when I'm younger playing hockey and me playing for Team Canada and things like that. And then on the left side, I got family and friends who obviously support me and do so much for me. So I'd say those guys probably mean the most. And then in the center at the back, I got pictures of me playing in Prince Albert with my teammates and covered by the draft logo as well. So, all three mean so much to me in their own ways. And I was very fortunate to get them displayed on my blazer today.
Left side, third row.
Dax, you're fresh off a season where you made it to the WHL Championship. You were a Defenseman of the Year finalist. How did your game grow this season, and how did your time with the Raiders help you get this step closer to the NHL?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. They helped me so much to prepare for the NHL. It was so much fun there, playing there, going to the finals, like you said. And I think what I developed most over the years is just being hard to play against. And I think my offensive game took a jump this year as well. So those are two kind of things that I worked on a lot this season. And I'm so fortunate to play hockey in Prince Albert.
Left side, second row.
Daxon, congratulations. You're going to Denver next year, and so obviously you got another year of developing at least, but I'm curious what you think is kind of your path, what feedback you've gotten from scouts about, kind of the road to the NHL here.
Yeah, I think, this year I'll be in Denver. I think my goal is to be ready after next year. I don't think there's necessarily a rush for whatever reason. If I'm not ready, I can go back for another year. But I think, yeah, 1 or 2 years and I'll be ready to make the jump into the NHL.
Left side, third row.
Daxon, congratulations. You brought up a Prince Albert teammate in Braden Coutts. Why him first? Like, why did he jump to your mind first? What about Braden Coutts made you think about him?
Yeah, since we brought him to PA at the deadline, he's been a really good buddy of mine. We lived three doors down from each other in PA, actually, and spent a lot of time together. So he's just a guy who I've got to share similar experiences too with him being drafted last year and playing in Hockey Canada with him and stuff like that. So he's just a really good buddy of mine and came to mind.
Anything else? Last one, left side, second row.
Daxon, what's something unrelated to hockey that Sabres fans should know about you?
I guess one thing is I really enjoy watching the NFL. So I guess from now on, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan and excited to possibly watch a game there.
Thanks a lot, Daxon. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The newest Buffalo Sabre, fourth overall selection, Daxon Rudolph, a defenseman. And the Sabres are going to be on the clock here again shortly to pick at number 20. Brayton, we want to bring you in here in just a moment to kind of talk a little bit about the picks. Actually, before we do that, let's go down to the floor and bring Joe Calley in. Joe, we just heard the interview with Daxon Rudolph. I know you were in on that and listened to that. What did you think about some of the things that maybe stood out from what Rudolph had to say?
I think he just seen, you know, he's from the outside, just looking in, I guess, because I was talking with you for the first little chunk of it, so I didn't see it all. Listening back to it, though, what I missed, he just seems like he's got a kind of, I guess, shoulders in a sense. He's going to Denver. I mean, they just won their championship this past year. Like, he seems like he's doing all the right things, and I look at it just kind of catching it a little bit, and he's talking about being a Bills fan and all that now. Like, he just, you know, seems like he's excited to be here, be a Buffalo Sabre, and, you know, eventually contribute to the defense that's already been taken, kind of maybe fill that void of the Bo Byram, you know, area leaving and all that. So I would say a pretty solid opening press conference for him. He kind of nailed it on the head, if you ask me.
Yeah, what was it like in terms of maybe just his physical appearance and reaction when you were watching him take some of these questions? Because obviously, you know, maybe on the radio side here, it's tough to really tell how excited he was.
Yeah, I mean, he was all smiles the entire time. I mean, yeah. there wasn't really a moment he wasn't grinning from ear to ear, taking questions about, you know, like trading cards, like anything like that, right? So he was clearly elated to have been drafted by the Buffalo Sabres, and he wore that on his face the entire press conference. So it was pretty cool to see that, someone excited to be coming into the building whenever he does.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, at pick four, that's usually like a spot that could go either way in terms of whether or not he's going to play in the NHL right away or whether he's not. But it sounded like, from what he said, is that he's got a goal to go back to Denver and play college hockey for a year and then hopefully be ready to go and make his mark with Buffalo once that first year of college hockey is done.
Yeah, that's what he was alluding to there. So, I mean, I think that's what we expected, right? If they went a defenseman, and the whole talk about trading the pick all week, right? When that was kind of the whole thing with Hellebuck and all that, the idea there. When it was talked about trading the pick, it was more or less, do you want to wait for a year for a defenseman to develop or go in on somebody right now? And clearly they're okay with waiting a year, at least for Daxon to develop and do his thing in Denver.
Absolutely. All right, Joe. Well, the Sabres are just a couple of picks away from being up again, and then hopefully, as long as we know that the prospect is in the building, you'll get a chance to speak with them. So we'll check in with you later here after Buffalo makes their choice, if they do pick at 20.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
All right. Joe Calley, thank you, Joe. Down on the floor. All right, so
we just got a trade alert announced here at the arena as well. Utah trading up two spots with the LA Kings to make a selection. I mean, they just had gotten another selection thanks to a trade with the Boston Bruins. So they go ahead and move up two spots here.
Yeah, they flip 17 and 19.
They flip 17 and 19. We'll see what the rest of the compensation is, but it's only two picks.
The Kings also get pick 83.
There it is.
So sliding down two, they get that extra one.
Yep. Just in case anyone wanted to know that.
By the way.
That's right, because Buffalo's upcoming here. So if there's any sort of slide up or down from them, maybe that's what you're going to cost you at this moment is around a third rounder.
By the way, one of the other rumors being tracked right now, Chad DeDomenicis, he was in on the fact that the Sabres might have been targeting Daxon Rudolph at number four. That did happen. Chad tweeting, not a surprise, but from what I understand, the Sabres are still looking to use 20th overall as a trade chip. So, hey, don't let Chad get hot. He already was on it with the Sabres on Daxon Rudolph at four today. So I would imagine there's plenty of credibility here. So we'll see what the Sabres end up doing with the 20th overall selection. There is still time. see if a trade happens.
That's right. You know, we're sitting here right now at pick 17 with Utah, and now Washington 18, LA 19, and then Buffalo at 20. By the way, after the Sabres do whatever they're going to do with 20, and then if it is the selection, we are expected to also hear from Jarmo Kekalainen, the Sabres general manager. Paul Hamilton says they're expected to have him very shortly after the pick is made, if they do end up making a selection. So we'll carry that for you live here as well. And then, again, as long as the prospect is in the building, Joe Callie's going to have a chance to talk to him. We'll have that interview coming up as well, as we just heard with Daxon Rudolph. Don't forget, by the way, there's another whole day tomorrow. Draft round two starts tomorrow morning, and then it'll go, what, Zach, I know you saying it might go a little quicker this year?
Well, yeah, so how we've kind of got everything set up, we're going to have a normal sports talk Saturday, so Derek's going to take the head of that, and so, I believe 11 o'clock is when actually round two gets going, so it'll be perfect time for you guys.
Brayton and I will be on at 11 a.m. Joe Callie will be once again here. We'll connect with Joe from the floor of KeyBank Center, and then Zach will tag in after us at 2 o'clock. But, yeah, Brayton and I are going to get things started here
tomorrow. Yeah, and the fact that you're trying to say that it's going to be done by 2.
I'm just saying there were emails out. They don't have the big, like, stand where everyone gets to, like, interview. It's two-minute picks. The interview or the email, the whole thing was it's going to go quicker. I'm just saying.
It can go quicker and not be done at 2.
Right.
That's right. Well, I mean, look at tonight.
Both of these things could be true.
I'll believe it when I see it.
They've been supposedly 3 tonight. But there's been 10 minutes in between when they actually put them on the clock.
Well, the first round also has the pomp and circumstance to it. The second through seventh rounds, they don't really have much of anything.
They're not bringing out a whole bunch of celebrities to announce these
picks. We also
didn't
start right at 7, did we?
No. Started at like 7:18.
It's about we're hitting it just about 2 hours right now, and we're at pick 17. There's been a couple of trades here over the last couple of picks, which has kind of stalled things a little, but we're getting closer to Buffalo, obviously.
Tonight will be done by 11.
It'll be done by 11
considering
tonight.
Considering what happened last year and how late everyone was sticking around last year, this is a far drastic difference.
This is a big win for everybody.
Yes. Regardless of who ends up making these picks, Brayton, we are 3 away from Buffalo's spot here.
Yes.
So who are some names? I know you did a mock draft, but I know there's maybe a guy or two also that maybe has fallen that – is still sitting there. What are some of the names that maybe we should be thinking about here as we close in on the Sabres?
So I've got a few interesting names, and all of them are mostly forwards, but I'll give them to you anyway.
Yeah.
Ethan Belshetz, who I thought was going 12 to the Devils, is still available. Really big winger on the wing, just a huge, massive presence. Played with the Windsor Spitfires this year. Unfortunately, he suffered a broken clavicle in early March, which ended his season a bit early. He was a guy that I think was seen as a potential top 10 player this year. Another guy is Oliver Suvanto. He's a Finnish center right down the middle. Not a very sexy offensive player, but he just does everything right where he goes to the middle of the ice. He plays a very simple game, and I think that's why his value kind of drops, is that he's not that sexy type of player.
Yeah.
Ilya Morozov was the youngest player in college hockey this year to start the year and finish the year. A couple other players joined later on in the year that were either his exact same age or younger, but he's the one who started and finished the year in college hockey. Big presence down the middle of the ice, and a guy that's pretty interesting that if he falls to 20, I wouldn't be surprised to hear that. And then the guy that I mocked to the Sabres, Adam Novotny, is also still on the board as well.
All right, so there are some names, and again, you can check out Brayton's mock draft at WGR550.com as well. And we've got more coming up here. Zach, what do you have?
David Pagnotta's got a few notes here as we get towards the Sabres pick. In addition to San Jose, some talk that Dallas has expressed serious interest in Columbus defenseman Zach Werenski.
Oh, no.
Flyers remain in talks with teams about moving pick 21. Kings trading down from 17. We already know that one. And then Canadians seem very interested in Kirill Merchenko, the Columbus winger who within the draft went from he's looking at Pavel Dorofeev's 7-year, $11 million contract as kind of the baseline for him. And then Columbus and Merchenko basically being like, I think we might be parting ways here pretty soon.
Yeah, it is tough. You've got stars that want to get paid. They see others get paid. And, you know, what do teams do in terms of reacting? You don't just want to give up good players. But, I mean, look at Buffalo had to do it twice this week. I mean,
right.
We've been talking about – and that's the thing that's tough. I mean, we're all I think it's fair to say both trades on paper
look good. And you can be excited about both trades, and you can be happy and say, hey, Yarmo got great value in both of these trades. You also then, I think, are also very fair to follow up and say, and by the way, as of this moment, it makes the Sabres roster much weaker. It's not a complete puzzle, but if you're asking me our opinion here on Friday night at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, I think you can say the roster is weaker very easily at this moment.
Oh, absolutely. And that's right. And that I said it when we were starting today, too. It's kind of like my one hiccup, my one thing that's holding me back from, like, fully giving all the flowers to Jarmo Kekalainen. But to your point, Brian, it's right. Not a complete picture. Like, and we knew that when they got the fourth overall pick. It's incredible value. That's why they go and do that for Bo Byram. I mean, getting a third for Tuck as well, not this year, but next year. It all still works for them. It's just the picture's not completed. We can't totally see it yet. But I think something has to happen within the next day or two to, I think, have as good of feelings as maybe we should have. Like, I still maintain, I think this has been a brilliant start to the offseason for Jarmo Kekalainen and his staff. I still very much trust the scouting that is, for the most part, still here from the Kevin Adams days as well. You know, they're able to build this plethora of talent, not through top five picks. You know, it's been in the teens or in the late top tens. It feels like something has to happen. You hear Montreal involved in that. Montreal's involved in the Matthew Nye situation, whether it be right before the deadline where it feels like they got it through in the 25th hour, they just missed it, or even recently they feel like they're a part of it now, you know, potentially trying to go for Kirill Merchenko as well. It is a budding arms race, maybe not even just between Buffalo and Montreal, who are the two young teams, but throughout the Atlantic. Florida goes and adds Brady Tkachuk. Toronto refuses to kind of go into the gutter or even take some lean years, bringing in Darren Radish, and then, of course, going and drafting Gavin McKenna. There is so much going on in the Atlantic. It can look pretty. You got to finish the picture, though.
Yeah. But to go to the other side of this, Zach, and that's, you know, if there was one thing that I was more concerned about than the other, it was the defensive production. I think that the Sabres needed to get that from another location. If they want to attempt to replace Alex Tuck's production through more from Zach Benson and then some of the other kids like Kontsa Helenius as well as Noah Olsland, you can. That's more realistic than expecting someone in the Sabres defensive core pipeline to be an answer to Bowen Byram's offensive production.
Right.
This is more of an opportunity for those kids, but also for a player like Benson who was literally up and down the entire lineup. We saw him climbing and play where as needed.
Well, the positive and negative for him, I mean, I think it showed truly his value, but also kind of never let him really get going until the end of the season.
So I do think that if you're able to consistently put him on the first line, as he's making first line money now, it gives you the opportunity, Benson, to get a little bit more going there.
Yeah, we'll pick up on this in a moment. Brayton, the pick is in at 17, the Mammoth moving in and taking, I think, a player you just said you had at 12. Ethan Belchess,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Ethan Belchess, 6'5", nearly 230 pounds, just a beast of a player on the ice. Again, I may mention that he broke his clavicle in early March that ended his season. Is a guy that's super skilled for his size. He's got really soft hands, but yet a booming shot. Protects the puck really well because of that size, and he does have some decent strength. Will need to work on his speed and skating a little bit, but one common theme with a lot of these prospects in this year's draft class, guys, a lot of them are committed to go to Michigan State University. That program this upcoming season is going to be absolutely bonkers because they've got, I think, Nikita Klepov is going there. I think Chase Reed is going there. Yep. You got Ethan Belchess, and I believe there's a couple of other prospects that are going to Michigan State University. That program is going to be fully loaded for the next year or two as these guys continue their development at the next stage. And Belchess is just going to add to that.
All right, so Belchess to Utah. We've got Washington on the clock now at pick 18, followed by the Kings at 19 and 20 is Buffalo. Capitals getting some boos. Could that be an Alex Tuck reaction, possibly?
Possibly, yeah. I was thinking about that. I'm like, why? Oh, wait, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably might be it.
Washington was never really on the Tuck radar up until really the trade happened.
Until it happened, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's, I don't know. How do you see him fitting in there?
I'll let you know that on the other side of the break.
Okay, let's take a timeout. Derek, I love that you're keeping me in check here. Very good, very good.
Someone's got to do it.
That's right. We're three picks away from the Sabres. Washington at 18, Los Angeles at 19, and then Buffalo at 20. We'll step aside here.
Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Joe Cali down on the floor, Paul Hamilton in Orchard Park, TJ Luckman producing. I'm Brian Colziel. More coverage continuing with our NHL draft coverage on WGR. We'll be back at KeyBank Center right after this.
Coverage of the NHL Draft on WGR is being brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods.
Welcome back here to the Press Box, our continuing coverage of the NHL Draft right here on WGR. We appreciate you being with us. Our coverage of the draft brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Well, it was 6 weeks ago that the Sabres were in here in a Game 7. 9:30, just a little after maybe, we're probably in the third period of Game 7 against Montreal. And this team ended up obviously falling in overtime. I still, anytime, as you know, we're leading up to this talk here, guys, about what's part of maybe what Jarmo Kekalainen has to do. Every time I hear, oh, they still have to re-sign Beck Malisan, which, by the way, is a no-brainer in my opinion.
Jarmo, we talked about it. I mean, they like him.
I still get annoyed that the whistle blew early or the official blew off the goal for Malenstein when he did score in the third period of that game to give Buffalo the lead. Not to open up a wound here, but
it's a few moments in that game.
I saw Washington made their pick. We'll get Brayton's thought on the pick in a moment.
Yes.
I see Washington's pick, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that was where Malenstein used to play. Oh, yeah, Malenstein scored. Yeah, did the Sabres get screwed? And now the wound of that night of them losing in overtime and the fact that maybe he should have scored, and they could have won. Well, he did.
We are one pick away from the Sabres as well.
I had a plan. This is again, how live radio works.
Yes,
I had
a plan
to come back and compliment the NHL on something that they were doing very well PR-wise. Instead, I'm going to complain about the officiating in Game 7.
Is that
okay?
Yeah, and the other plan, though, funny enough, was you asked me an Alex Tuck question that I was going to answer.
Yes.
But, you know,
all right, can we put a close? They got screwed on that call. It should have been a goal, right?
Oh, man.
It should have been a goal.
Brian, I'm one that I'm going to disagree with you. Here's why. Because, yes, the puck
You're giving
Dobish
so much credit here.
No. I'm going to just say this. That play, I remember watching it. I remember watching it. Essentially, the puck was sitting underneath Dobesh, and Greenway, while Dobesh was still at the top of his crease, pushed the puck out from underneath him. And if they had called that a goal, Montreal would have challenged, and I guarantee you the NHL would have overturned it and called it no goal. And we would still be here.
I've got a fate worse than that. I'm glad I heard the whistle. How much more ridiculous would it have been?
Painful would it have been had they taken it away on a review?
No, if it was taken from intent to blow the whistle.
They can't review that, though. That's
no, I know.
That's
what
not reviewable.
But what I'm saying is, imagine that's how they take it away, and you cannot review it.
Isn't that what happened?
No, that's not what happened. It's the whistle actually blew.
No, okay.
And I'm glad that it actually was heard.
Yeah.
Because there's a fate worse than what you even presented, which is intent to blow the whistle. You cannot challenge. Have a nice day.
I understand your frustration, Brian, but I do believe that if that it was called a goal and the whistle never blew, Montreal would have absolutely challenged, and I would have bet.
We're not a bell setter. Oh, wait,
I'm not a betting man, but I would have bet a lot of money that they would have called that back on goalie interference.
At least it didn't happen in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals in the same building where there was some controversy with a goal that shouldn't have counted.
When did that happen?
I have no idea.
Anyway, let's focus on the here and now.
Washington did make a pick.
Yes.
And we're two away from Buffalo. 19 is up right now, LA, then Buffalo 20, but let's go to the Capitals.
Yeah, Oliver Savanto, one of the youngest prospects in this year's draft class, born, quick math, 12 days before the cutoff for the draft class, so very, very young. He played the entire season with Tappara in the Finnish League. and Tapera won the championship in the Finnish League, although Suvanto didn't play, I think he only played one playoff game. Still played 48 games, 2 goals, 9 assists as a 17-year-old. He actually did fairly well as a bigger player. He's 6'3", 209 pounds, so he's mature for his age. He was good at faceoffs over there, won 53% of his faceoffs in the Finnish men's league, which is very impressive. That might be one of the more physical men's league in all of professional hockey. And just a really solid player. Not sexy by any means, but he just goes to the net. He puts his nose down, does the hard work, and a really nice, solid player. And worthy of the first-round pick where he went.
All right, so the Kings are on the clock as of this moment. And another Swedish player coming off the board here, Brayden.
Yes, Elton Hermansson is the pick. And I got a little bit more for you here. I'm going to open up my my prospect.
Solid name.
Profile. Yeah. Yes. Elton Hermansson is one of those guys that's super electrifying. He skates really well. He's always just hungry for the puck. He's got a cannon of a shot. He's fun to watch offensively. And he played for most of the season, if not all the season, with Modo. And let's see, did he play with their top team? I apologize. My notes are a little bit messy here. But Hermansson, the thing that I remember most about him is just he is very electric. He's got a great shot. He's very offensive. And he's kind of that player that, you know, you lose Anze Kopitar to retirement and there's a little bit more change with the Kings organization going forward. That's the type of player that you hope that he continues to play really well in Sweden over the next year or two, develops, and then by the time that he's ready to jump over to North America, he's on the cusp of being ready to join the NHL right away. So that's a player where I can understand where they made that pick with 6'1", 183 pounds, and I like that pick for the Kings.
All right, so now we are on the clock. Well, not officially, they haven't wound it yet, but we've reached pick 20.
We're on the clock.
And Buffalo. And the Sabres will be, I'm sure they'll have another personality coming out here to make the selection here shortly. But, Brayden, who's the name that you have highest on your board here left, or at least highest remaining on your mock draft that haven't been taken yet?
So the highest name that I have left on the board is Ilya Morozov. And Morozov, again, was the youngest player to start the season and end the season playing college hockey. I think he was born early August of 2008, so he was 17 for the entire time he was playing college hockey this year. Really solid, strong, good two-way center. Didn't necessarily, like, how do I want to describe this? I was talking about it with Zach earlier. He kind of, like, blossomed all of a sudden on the scene and played well in college, but sort of a, what are we doing? Like, who is this kid? You know, we need to maybe know more about him. But certainly an interesting prospect available for the Sabres if they want to go that route. The other guy that I have is Adam Novotny, who I mocked to the Sabres with the mock draft that I have online at WBEN.com. Novotny is a big forward who played professionally in the Czech League as a 16-year-old. 16-17 year old, he's a little bit older, so 16-17 year old, didn't really do much. Then he comes over to North America last year for his first year, puts up 65 points in 58 games, 34 goals, 31 assists. Very well-rounded player, can shoot the puck really well, has got a good eye for passing it, you know, finding open lanes and everything like that. A good playmaker as well.
Yeah, by the way, I did say I wanted to compliment the NHL. Because I rarely do that on the air, I want to make sure I actually get it across here. There's 16 sets of couches, lounge areas down on the floor, and as each player gets drafted, he's sitting down there with family and friends. The player gets up, goes to the stage, they escort the family over to the side, then they do some pictures and all that sort of stuff. Then they take another player and family from the 100 level and fill the spot. So all 16 chairs and lounges and everything and couches are filled. So they are right on top of it, and every player then kind of gets the same experience, Zach. So that's kind of a nice move, I think, by the NHL doing that.
I think every player gets the same experience, which is awesome. I think also just for television purposes,
yeah, looks good.
It looks good, and you don't have that moment you'll see oftentimes in the NFL draft where the last guy waiting in the green room.
Because there isn't a last guy here.
Yeah, right. There's not going to be this last guy. I mean, there's going to be players that are here, you know, for rounds 2, 3, 4, and on. You know, they just came into town, but you'll be able to have this experience. Your family will be able to have this experience, you know, kind of almost treated like royalty, the big moments here. So that is very big for all of them.
Yeah, they're actually filling the empty spot right now with another family coming down from
the pick that was just made with the Kings with Hermanson. So now it's up to Buffalo here up next. And we're obviously wondering, will there be a trade or will there be a pick?
I am on my phone.
30 seconds.
The last 10 minutes, nothing yet.
30 seconds to selection, which means I would imagine.
They're probably making the pick. David Pagnotta saying that the Mammoth are also knocking on the door on Kirill Marchenko with the Blue Jackets.
Yep.
Side note from the Sabres.
That's the third team now that we've seen linked there.
Yes,
and I know, Zach, you want to link the Sabres there as well.
I want to link them. They're not actually officially linked.
Yeah. But I would imagine, though, Kekalainen's got, you know, price points in mind. Paterka getting two firsts might have also thrown everything into a little bit of a jumbled mess in terms of, like, the price to do business today. So I would imagine that's something to do with it as well.
Oh, go ahead.
Or they might have just been holding on to this so that they can have some fanfare. I'm not believing that. I'm just trying to put hope into people's veins. The pick is in.
Yeah. All right, so let's Gary Bettman is going to bring somebody out. Yeah.
Let's see if we can get the audio again from Thurman Thomas.
They're going to bring back Thurman. So TJ back in our studios here. I know if you could maybe bring up the podium feed for this pick. I know Gary Bettman's going to introduce the Bills Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas.
Buffalo, once again, please welcome back Thurman Thomas. Here we go, baby. With the 20th overall selection in the 2026 NHL draft, the Buffalo Sabres are proud to select from Miami University, Ilya Mrazek.
That's right. It's not
all right, so there's Thurman back with another announcement, and it's Ilya Mrazek, the center, going at pick number 20. Brayden, tell us a little bit about him.
He grew up in Moscow, Russia, ended up making the jump to North America as a 15-year-old to develop in the United States. He went to Tri-City Storm in the USHL, played really well. Then he went to Miami and played with the Red Hawks at the University, at Miami University. There's a difference between University of Miami and Miami University.
Yep.
Again, as I made mention, he was the youngest college player to start and end his season in his draft year. 17 years old throughout the entirety of the season that he played at Miami. 6'3", 205-pound frame, very mature. 8 goals, 12 assists for 20 points in 36 games. Strong physical presence in his game throughout his year, beyond his years. Very mature physically. He's got a very strong shot. He's a hound on the puck. Does a really, really nice job of playing solid in both ends. And again, there's not too much that like is super noticeable about his game. He just tries to keep everything really simple. And I think maybe why a reason that he didn't maybe get looked at more so was just because of the fact that he played at a program like Miami University, where their program is okay, but it's not anything that's Michigan State University or University of Michigan or anything like that. So I like Ilya Mrazek, and I think that with the right development, if he continues to play well at Miami University, I think that there's a good chance that he finds his way to making himself a good path to the NHL.
And with Mrazek, though, too, you know, I am a tad shocked that both picks are used. But a lot of people, when the Sabres moved up from 27 to 20, this was the kid that a lot of people were looking at.
Yep.
The minute that they got to pick 20. It was, hey, let's see if we can get this Ilya Mrazek, who he's been playing against older competition his whole life.
Yeah.
And including an age 17 season in the NCAA. So he's playing against adults already. He's putting up solid point production already. He's got a solid frame for a kid like this. This will be a player that I would imagine you put him in Rochester once he's done, if he decides he's done with Miami, because he's been on this trajectory, he's playing against older and tougher competition every step of the way. But I'd imagine he might get another year in college, end up in Rochester here. This is a player that a lot of people were looking for or looking at pick 20.
Yep. All right. So a center and a defenseman earlier, we know, with the selection of Daxon Rudolph, but now it's Ilya Mrazek going at pick 20 for the Buffalo Sabres. He will be downstairs on the floor meeting with the media, including our Joe Calley. So we'll have that interview coming up here shortly. Also, Paul Hamilton out at One Bills Drive in Orchard Park Jarmo Kekäläinen, Sabres general manager, is expected to meet with the media shortly. So we'll have that coming up here in just a little bit. And if there are no other moves being made by the Sabres tonight, that means they are done in terms of draft picks. Now, they can get back in, obviously, if there's some sort of trade. But, Zach, what's your level here on – you have to separate what do you think of these two players versus what do you think of the fact that they didn't make any trades with these two picks. It's okay to be disappointed and excited about the picks at the same time.
That's sort of where I'm at. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm even, you know, Dax Rudolph was not the defenseman I was thinking of. I was thinking of Chase Reed, but you look at his stats and it's like, okay, he looks like the modern NHL defenseman. 28 right. goals last year in the WHL. And then Ilya Morozov, I think one of the funnest things about him is what Derek was talking about. And then I know our own Paul Hamilton tweeted about it as well. He was the youngest player in college last year. You know, at 17 years old, that immediately makes him a very, you know, curious prospect, intriguing prospect. His frame, by the way, at 17 years old, is maybe the biggest positive. He's already over 200 pounds. It is tough. Now, with all that being said, and while I'm not super down yet, the prospect pool is what was always really fun about the Sabres, and the idea of trades is that they have that plethora of, if they want to, they can use it to go and get perhaps a big fish or somebody that, you know, can replace Alex Tuch's production that they did lose this week. I like the picks. I think they've hit some needs. It's just they do still need to do that because as of right now, I mean, even after the trade for the defenseman earlier today, they are a worse team than the one that took the ice in Game 7 against Montreal, at least on paper. Again, the young talent that was coming up during the playoffs could be that group that, you know, here, perfect example. We were here last year talking about who's going to take up J.J. Paterka's production. Well, it happened to be Josh Dome. You know, Konstantin Helenius, Noah Ostlund, Zach Benson, any of these guys could take up the Alex Tuch production. I just, as we sit here right now, I am a little bit disappointed, although I do like the idea of the prospects quite a bit.
Yep. Only one other player in the history of the NHL that has played for Miami University, Miami of Ohio, went in the first round. And you know the name, and we've mentioned him already tonight.
Ooh.
And he's got a connection to the Buffalo Sabres.
Ooh, this is...
I'll give you a clue. Trivia. 1993, he was drafted 25th overall in the first round by the Boston Bruins, coming from, again, Miami University to Miami of Ohio Redhawks.
I unfortunately caught it in the corner of my eye.
Don't say it.
I'm not saying it. I'm giggling.
Give him a chance.
This is funny.
1993.
So obviously now he's not playing anymore.
Right,
he's retired. He was a part of the Sabres organization. In fact, he's been mentioned quite often.
TJ, I heard you there.
You're close, TJ. You're close.
Related in a way.
Oh, he's ready.
All right. Jarmo Kekäläinen. That's not your guess. He's speaking to the media. Let's go live to Orchard Park.
Not his with our decision. Obviously, situation changed a lot from the combine because we were thinking of picking at 27 and then we were picking 4. So rather than wasting time with some of the people that were running from interview to interview and we're so far down that we know that we're not going to get to them. That interview is 15 minutes. Our area scouts are doing the interviews throughout the season to know the background of the player. They know him inside and out. So the 15 minutes is just a chance for the whole staff to get to know and put a face to a name. So that's why we called him and had him come to our office this morning because now the situation's different and we had the 4th overall pick. And so we believe in the process of the scouting and building the list throughout the year. And then the decisions are made based on all the different reports, game scene, data, combine, all those things. And then you have your final list when you walk into the draft today.
What was the trade market like for number 4? Was there anything even close?
Not close enough. We made it clear that we're looking at all options, whether it's 4th pick overall or 20th pick overall. We could move up. We could move down. So we explored all the options, and I contacted all the other teams in the league to make sure that they know that all our options are open. But nothing was attractive enough for us to do anything else but pick. No, just a couple that we hadn't done at the, like I said, that has nothing. The list order is not going to change based on meeting him face to face the morning of the draft.
What did you like about him so much?
Well, he's obviously the numbers speak for themselves. He's got great offensive ability. I personally saw him play in August at the Linka Gretzky tournament with Team Canada, and I was impressed there. But then that's a long time ago, and our scouts follow him all year. But he had great productivity in the Western Hockey League. He's a big guy, and got some jam to him too. Grit, plays hard. But his instincts are great. That I think that's the biggest thing that we like about him, is that it's not just the physical ability, but it's his hockey IQ. His instincts are great, and you know, puts another really good defenseman into our future. I think he's a good two-way forward. It's pretty hard to score a lot in college at the age of 17, and I saw him play. It was great for me because two of my daughters go to Miami University, so I got to visit them and watch Morozov play. So good trip. But he got off to a really hot start in college hockey. Then he cooled off a little bit. But I got to talk to the head coach there, and he couldn't stop talking about the character of Ilya Morozov. It's a pretty impressive story that he's come from Russia and hardly spoke any English, and now he's an A student and works on his game. You know, they have to kick him out of the rink and gym before he leaves. And you know, watching the testing, it's pretty impressive. Like, the results are there for the work that he's done so far, and he's just getting started. So we're really, really excited about him too. Yeah, well, that's what the scouting process is all about, and I did it for 15 years myself. Amateur scouting, ran the draft for 11 different drafts, and to me, what I believe in, and we are in great hands with Jerry Fortin and his staff, Jason Nightingale, and all the area scouts, because they do exactly what I believe in too, which is that you work hard, you watch a lot of games, you go back again and again and again to make sure that you know the player inside and out, especially the top guys, and then you work on the order constantly. After every game you see, especially if you see two guys that are close to each other, you know, like you had a few guys from the Western League, defensemen, you see them play head-to-head two, three times, now you adjust the list a little bit, who's better, who's got better upside, who's more ready physically, all these different things that we look at when we do the order. And I would say we always try to lean on the upside, the potential, rather than what they are now. I believe in that process going throughout the year, and you watch a lot of games. There are no super scouts in my mind that can go to one game or two games and say, oh, that guy's great and that guy's not good at all. I think you need to just keep watching, keep evaluating, see the good game, the bad game, the average game, you know, when the pressure is on, when the games get tough and competition is harder, all those things, and now you got a good picture of a player that how you like him, where you put him on your list, and how do you compare him to the other prospects. I did that for 11 drafts, and I was fortunate that I always worked with the general manager that didn't stick his fingers into the process, because I can't get to see those guys enough to form a solid opinion on how they are as players. But we have a great scouting staff. They do a great job. You see some of the results on the team right now. So I have a lot of faith in our scouting staff. So I stay away from it. If I see somebody many times enough that I can give them my opinion, I try to even do that carefully, because they've seen them a lot more than I have.
Sabres have drafted a lot of defensemen in the system, particularly over the last three years. Why draft another defenseman to add to kind of that stockpile, if you will, in Rudolph?
you always draft the best player available. That's our philosophy. And then if you have too many good defensemen, that's a great problem to have. There's going to be 31 teams that call on me. If they need a defenseman, they know who to call. And then if we need a forward instead, then we can make a trade. No, I think that we thought this morning that it looked like we're picking at four. And then, you know, we explored a lot of different ideas of maybe moving up from 20 to the teens to make sure that we get one of the guys that we had high on our list. We ended up getting one at 20. And if all of them were gone, we were exploring the options of going from 20 to 24, 25, maybe move back a little bit. So that's what we do during a day like this is explore all those options. But four was pretty set in stone that it looked like, you know, once we got through the morning and there wasn't much going on, that we're probably going to pick at four.
When you talked a couple of days ago, you talked about how at 27, there were a couple of guys Jerry was kind of looking at, and they probably wouldn't have been there at 27, but maybe there's a pretty good chance they're going to be there at 20. Was Marzov one of those guys that Jerry was looking at?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think this strategy worked in our favor, where when we moved from 27 to 20, I don't know because we picked the player at 20, but we are pretty sure as a staff that he wouldn't have been there at 27.
What are your thoughts on Elvecker and how do you see him?
Trading Bo Byram obviously created a hole. This is a young player that has a lot of same qualities, really good skater, speed, puck play, ability to move up the ice, whether it's with the pass or carrying the puck out of the zone. We see a lot of potential in him. So now we have Crevier and him that can compete for spot to maybe play with Owen Power. Coach is going to decide that, not me. But and then we have Metsä and Timmins there with competing for the spots as well. And, you know, like our top pair all year was Samuelson and Dahlin. I'm pretty sure that pair is going to start the same, and again, leaving that up to the coach. But I think that we have at least seven good D right now to start the year, and we'll keep working on other areas, and we'll see what we have on the ice when we start the season. Yeah, definitely. He's just getting started, but he was playing 17 minutes a game, and we always say that for defensemen you need about 200 games before you can really see what they can become. He's not there yet, so I think he's just growing as a defenseman right now. I say that again. Sorry, I didn't. Yeah, he scratched, but then he went back in the lineup. So, you know, that can happen. That's happened to a lot of players. That happens throughout the season with some very good players, and that's part of the job, and, you know, coach's decisions. No, it was a contract move. Washington needed to move a contract to stay within the 50 contract limit, so we took that because it's an expiring contract.
When you were talking to teams the last few days, did you notice more interest maybe in 420, or your teams kind of after some of your prospects,
Yeah, there was a ton of calls early on about the pick number four, but we weren't going to move it for something that wasn't significant. Like it would have taken a significant offer for us to move from four. We had some offers where we could have moved back a little bit and gotten something in return. All kinds of different options that We were kind of taking notes for a couple of days on what might be out there with pick four. But to outright trade pick number four would have needed an impact player that can play in with our team for a good period of time, not just help us next year or the year after, but somebody with either term or at good age that we have control for many, many years. That's what you get with pick number four. You get a guy that can be in your system for the next 10, 15 years.
Thank you.
All right. There is Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen live in Orchard Park. Maybe some of the most interesting stuff he said was in that last comment, saying he got a ton of calls throughout the course of the last few days about pick number four, but he said it would have taken a significant offer to move off of four. He said they got a few offers to slide back. They've been talking about it for a few days, but for anybody to outright just take the pick four from them, they really needed an impact player with term, and they didn't get that offer. So that's why they stayed at four, drafting Dax and Rudolph, the defenseman there, at pick number four. And then, of course, later at pick 20, Ilya Morozov, the center from the Miami University. Okay, we will take a timeout here as we get to the top of the hour. Hope you enjoyed that with Jarmo. And when we come back, we'll go back to the stadium, get some thoughts from Paul Hamilton, more on the two draft picks from our panel here. We'll get Paul Hamilton in, Joe Calley, Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. I'm Brian Colziel, TJ Luckman producing back in our Amherst studios. We're live downtown here at the Press Box inside KeyBank Center, site of the 2026 NHL Draft. We'll catch you up on the picks as well that have been happening while that was playing, as the Sabres general manager just spoke. We get to 10 o'clock. More draft coverage continuing right here, live from KeyBank Center on WGR.